Well, we get to pick up today. We're going to head back into our series on the Ten Commandments. Now, we did the first four commandments. We talked about the four commandments. We did an intro to the commandments. But why do we keep the commandments? What does God give us commandments for? What does He want? Are we earning something here? Is this about earning salvation? Or is this about coming to know God? You see, if you look at the commandments, you look on that board over there, they're printed right here on the side. If you look at it, and you look at it as a list of rule number one, rule number two, rule number three, and on, you are going to miss the point of the commandments. When we hear the commandments of God, we should be hearing a father talking to his child, saying, here's the way. Walk in it. And what is life about? Is it about these things that we do? What does God want? Why did God make us? Why are we here? The great God of the universe, the great creator of all said, I want a relationship with you. I want to have children. I want to have those I call my own. And so He gives us His commandments so we can know how to express love to Him and how to express love to each other. And if we master this, if we master these two great commandments, as we see in the Ten Commandments, we will learn what life is about. Because if we're doing these things, we will have love. And the Apostle Paul said that all the law, all the instruction is fulfilled in this one word, love. Not the way the world teaches it, but the way God teaches it. Outgoing care and concern for others. Doing what you are supposed to for others. Looking on the interests of others. And so when we look at the commandments, what we see is God teaching us how to love. And if we're looking at it as a list of rules, we miss the point. But I trust that you have the Spirit of God. And there's a difference between the first covenant and the second covenant. The first covenant took the commandments and wrote them on stone. God took His finger and wrote them on stone. But in the new covenant, what does He say? I will write them on your hearts. He didn't get rid of them. He just decided to put them on the inside instead of the outside. On tablets of flesh instead of tablets of stone. So the commandments are powerful things. If we really understand, if we dig in and see what God wants for us. And so let's pick it up. We're going to start back in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. In verse 12 it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, of all the commandments that we've had, the first three that we went through, obviously said what you should not do. The fourth was remember the Sabbath day, remember? Keep it on your mind. We get to this one, honor your father and mother. Now, the commandments have been taking us through this progression so far as a way of reminder. We no other gods before me. Not that we see that, but love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Make Him first. Put God at the forefront of your mind daily. Make Him your God, truly your God. And don't make graven images. Not that we see that in the letter, but God is saying, don't create Him in the way that you want to see Him. Don't make Him in your image. Rather, listen to God, learn who God is, and let what He reveals about Himself shape your image of Him. Know the true image of God, not a false image. And then He says, don't take my name in vain. Saying, look, I want you to be my child. I want you to be baptized into my name. I want you to come up with the adoption of sonship. And I want you to bear that name as a child of God. I want you to bear my name. And so He says, walk in that name. And He says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days work, the seventh rest. Take time for me, God says. Delight in me. Take the time to rest, to refresh, to be rejuvenated. In your spirit, in your mind, in your emotions, in your flesh, and to delight yourself in God. And so now He comes and He says, honor your father and your mother. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and verse 16, where the commandments are repeated here. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. It's a little bit of an addition here. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. Notice, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Paul calls this the first commandment with promise, because he says, if you do this, honor your father and mother, it's going to be well with you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make it right. Now here's the thing when it comes to this commandment. A lot of times we look at this commandment, we say, well, that's the commandment for the little kids. Now it is for little kids, but it's for the big kids too. And guess what? One thing I know about all of you is you're all somebody's kids. It's for the children. It's for the children. Now I know that sometimes when we talk about this commandment, people have a tendency to shut down. Bill and I do a radio show together, and it's on Sundays. And a lot of times on the Sundays when it's Father's Day or Mother's Day, we'll give a tribute to our fathers and our mothers. And you know, we've found over the years there have been people that say, you know, this is not a good day for me. When I think back to my father, when I think back to my mother, it is not a pleasant time. And when I read this commandment, I don't feel it. I don't see what I'm supposed to do. How could I honor them? So if that's you, if I'm speaking to you right now on that, I want you just to bear with me, be patient, because we're going to talk about that too. But we're going to wait a little bit. Because a lot of times when we look at this commandment, here's what happens. You're supposed to obey God because you're supposed to obey your parents because of this commandment. And you know what? Obedience is a part of this commandment. But it's a biblically defined part. Biblically defined. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, did you notice that qualifier there? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It's an important part of that verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, sometimes we can look at this commandment and we think it's really one-sided. But when you really understand the dynamic, when we look at this past the letter, in the spirit of it, what you see that underlies this commandment is this relationship. The relationship, children to the fathers. But what is already assumed is that fathers have a relationship with their children. This is what's assumed in this commandment. The relationship that God wants us to have. The relationship that God wants us to express. So children, it says, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. And so when your parents are walking the Lord, listening to their counsel, listening to what they have to say, is of extreme importance. Because they were given to your children by God, for the purpose of giving you right instruction, training, and admonition in the Lord. When it's done right, that is the way it's to be. And the commandments were given to the people of God. And if you do commandments 1, 2, 3, and 4, parents, you're ready to take on the responsibility of having some person give you honor. Because you've given your honor first to God. That's the way it works. You realize it's a pretty big and weighty thing, isn't it? When somebody's told to honor you. And so parents, in the training and admonition of the Lord, bring up your children. It's saying that you already have made that choice to honor. So it says here in verse 4, and do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Notice the contrast. Provoking them to wrath or bringing them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You see the contrast? You know, as parents, sometimes we can ride our kids so hard. We can be on them all the time. The point is not to be on them. The point is not to punish them. The point is to chasten them so they will turn in the way of the Lord. Our responsibility as parents is to be bringing them to Jesus Christ. And if we're just worried about the rules, we're going to miss the point with our children too. The commandments are not just a list of rules in the letter. It's a matter of the heart, of learning to love God and learning to love others. The same with our children. It's not just a matter of rules. It is a matter of heart. What are we training up in them? To love rules or to love God? You know, when Jesus was on the earth, he said to the Pharisees, who were Israelites, right? Children of God. He said, hey, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but they don't lead you to me, the one who will give you life. So when we teach our children righteousness, when we train our children in the admonition of the Lord, we're training them to go to Him, to learn from Him, to hold on to Him, to realize He is their Savior like He's our Savior. Our children are not to be formed into legalists. Our children are to be formed into people, men and women who love God. That is what we should be chasing them to do. Notice this in Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. And verse 4, Deuteronomy 6, and in verse 4 it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. That is the way. Now, the blessing of this is we learn to honor God first, loving Him with all our heart, soul, and mind first. And then we bring them up in this training. You realize, how will children know how to honor unless they're taught? You see, this is the parents' responsibility. You can't just say, honor me. You're supposed to obey me. You're supposed to listen to me. No. Training them up in the way of the Lord. Training them up to know what honor is. What is honor? What is respect? You know, we live in a society that has rejected this. It is prophesied at the end of the age in Timothy, yeah, it's going to be pretty bad. People are going to be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. People are going to be haters, as it says, of parents, and despisers of them. So, it is our job to train them up how to honor. How do you give honor? Now that's a question right there. How do you give honor? Notice in Proverbs 13, verse 1. Proverbs 13 and verse 1. We're going to read a few Proverbs today, but let's pick up two right now. Proverbs 13, verse 1 says that a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. This is the instruction to us children. That wisdom is to listen to the father's instruction. Who's your father? Listen to the father's instruction. Heed your father. If you don't have a physical father, I'm talking about your spiritual father. And for those who have physical fathers, heed them in the Lord. For a little child, essentially the parents are God. They're basically the ones that God has given to each little child to say, I'm going to take the place of God in your life till you understand these things. So children, obey your parents in the Lord. Learn obedience from them. Learn how to walk in God's ways. Proverbs 15 and verse 5 says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Okay, so fathers, mothers, our role in this commandment is to teach our children how to live honorably. To know what honor is. Because it's not just about parents. When you learn how to honor someone, how to honor your parents, it's going to spread out through your whole life. And we'll see that as we go on. But here's the thing. A lot of us don't have or didn't have godly parents. I was fortunate. I had a very godly mother. She sits here today. But not everybody does. Not everybody had this feeling of growing up or this experience of learning how to honor our parents, because the parents were really messed up. They weren't in the Lord. They were doing things that were contrary to God. Now here's the thing about this word honor. The word honor does not mean obey. It has nothing to do with that. When you look at this commandment, when you really read and study this commandment, so often it gets talked about obedience. And as I said, obedience might have a small defined role in this. And the more biblical and the more godly the parent is, the bigger the role obedience will have. But that is not the point of this commandment at all. Honor your father and your mother. What does it mean to honor? You know, the Hebrew word basically means wait or waiting. Now you say, well, what in the world does that mean? Wait or waiting? And it can be used in a positive or negative context. This can be like a heavy burden. You know when you're under shame or a burden of something like that, and you just, the weight of it, the stress of it, the struggle? This word can mean that in a negative sense. That's not the sense that's used in the commandments. The positive sense is the weight of praise, the weight of honor, the weight of glory. This word honor is basically the word glory. Realize, this Hebrew word is translated glory about 100 times more than it's translated honor in the Old Testament. Basically, you could write the commandment like this. Glorify your father and your mother. Bring honor to your father and your mother. That is what this verse is talking about. It's not saying obey. It's saying bring glory to them. Bring honor to them, that it may be well with you, that your days may be long on the earth. Well, the question is, how do you bring honor? How do you not bring honor? How do you bring glory to your parent? How do you not bring glory to your parent? Let's take a look at this. Turn with me, if you would. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, and in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the wise son makes a glad father. The foolish son is the grief of his mother. Did you hear that? There's a way that is described, and it's described throughout the book of Proverbs. You know, Proverbs is a book written to a son. It's as a father speaking to his children. This is the way. Here's wisdom. Now, no matter what your parents are like, this verse, this proverb is true. A wise son does what? Makes a glad father. Why? Because when a son is wise, that's my kid, right? You know, when you go to the baseball game and your son playing shortstop and he makes a nice pickup and he makes the throw to first and gets the guy out, who's the first one standing up and cheering and looking around at everybody? It's the dad, right? Woohoo! He receives glory because of the play of his son. He's stoked. He receives the weight of it, the praise of it. Because that's my kid. That's my son. Now, when you live wisely in your life, whether they want it or not, you bring gladness, ease of heart, glory, and honor to your parents. But it says, a foolish son is the grief of his mother. I don't think any mother has a child and says, I hope someday that he'll make the front page for being a murderer. Right? Is that it? Come on, is that it, guys? Do you ever dream about that with your kids? Right? That would be shame. That'd be terrible. Nobody dreams of their child growing up to reject goodness. Nobody does. Not even the wicked. I don't think they dream of having some evil demon child. It's not their big dream. You have children. You want them to do well. You want them to succeed. Right? Proverbs 17 and verse 25. Proverbs 17 and verse 25. Says this, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. That's the opposite. So again, how do you bring honor? By being wise. By doing what God would say. When you obey God, when you look to God in His commandments, in His ways, you will bring honor to your parents on earth. When you are wise, even to the parents who don't want it. Proverbs 28 and verse 7. Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. So we see, how do you bring honor to your parents? How do you bring shame to them? No matter if your parents were godly or ungodly, we can bring honor and glory to them by doing what God would say. You realize there's going to be a day, no matter what your parents was like, were like, there's going to be a day when you are resurrected and you stand as a child of God glorified. And your parents will know. Your parents will see. I'll tell you, no matter what your parents were like, they see a child glorified by God, they will receive honor. That their child became the child of God. There is no greater honor that is given to a parent on earth than to see his or her child glorified as the child of God. That is my greatest dream. That my children, that my children's children would be the glorified children of God. There will be no greater honor they can give than that that is their course, that that is their path, that that is their life. Now, we see this in children. We see that we have a father. Now, as children, little children, we teach our children to walk in our ways, to do what we say. As parents in the Lord, we want to train up our children in how to live honorably. But this commandment does not go away once you leave home. It does not go away once you leave your house. Let's notice this in Mark chapter 7. Because Jesus addressed this issue. He addressed this very commandment when He spoke with the Pharisees, when He challenged them in what they were doing. Mark chapter 7 and in verse 9. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own traditions. He says, you know the way you guys are doing stuff? You know your practices? You're actually rejecting the commandment of God by what you normally do. We have to be careful that we don't do this. In this age, in this time, in this society, be careful to realize what God wants of us. Verse 10 says, for Moses said, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But if you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban. That is, it's a gift to God. Then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother, making the word of God of no effect through your traditions, which you've handed down, and many such things do you do. So what was happening is money that should have been taken to take care of parents in their older age. Well, it's going to be the gift of God. God will take care of them. I'm just going to keep giving my money, my gifts, to the church or to whatever it is. And ignoring the parents. And Jesus says, you just don't even get it. You don't even get what you're doing. Because this is your practice, you do this. Because you pay into the church coffers, you think, well, I don't have to give it to my parents. Well, what did John say? John said, if you can't love the one you do see, how can you love God whom you can't see? The important thing is to take care of your parents. It is a commandment. It is a part of this relationship. It is a part of the honor that God wants you to bestow upon somebody who took care of you. You realize when we came out, we were helpless, right? Anybody here come out, you know, talking, walking, able to feed yourself? Able to wipe when needed? You know what I'm saying? Look it. When we came out, we were utterly dependent on the person who bore us to take care of us. Complete and utter dependence. God has a funny way of turning that around. God has a funny way of saying, you know how they had to take care of you? Many children have the choice about taking care of their parents. It's not 100%, but many children have the choice about taking care of their parents. What are you going to do? How are you going to take care of them? See, there's traditions we have too, right? We have, well, we pay Social Security, right? To take care of our elderly parents, right? They're going to get that check. Well, the state, you know, the state will take care of them because we paid taxes so they can stay in that nursing home down the street. Now, look, I'm not judging people that have family in nursing homes. I've experienced it in my own life. But what I am saying is, don't write this off as if this commandment is not applicable to you who are grown children but still have parents. It's so easy to say, well, what did they ever do for me? How did they ever treat me? How did they ever take care of me? It's so easy to say, write them off. They're a waste. They're a bother. They're inconvenient for my life. They were evil. They were mean. They were wretched. I mean, any number of things, any number of relationships that each of us has with our own parent. Here's the thing. What did Jesus say? If you only love those who loved you, what credit is that to you? Even a sinner does the same. And Jesus' whole point was, this way is different. This way is not giving back in kind for how you think you've received. The way of God is giving in kind as God has given to you. That is love. Our response is our love to God in serving each other. Jesus' perfect love was to love us in our weakness while we were yet sinners. He loved us. How inconvenient it was that we all sinned. What a nuisance it was that all fell short of the glory of God and had sin on their lives. Jesus had to give up being God. Jesus had to give up being the Creator in His glory and dominion and power to empty Himself, to come to this earth, to be made of flesh, to have the very people He was coming to save take His life, betray Him, and kill Him. That was inconvenient. It was probably a hassle. Probably wasn't much fun. Probably didn't feel real rewarded when He was on the cross and they were mocking Him. When they were making fun of Him. When they were saying, come on, can't you heal yourself? To the Creator of the universe. Services like that. Sometimes it's not real rewarding to serve somebody else. Sometimes it's not real rewarding to give love to somebody else. But do you know who receives it? Do you know who receives it? Jesus. Jesus said this. He said, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Do you know how you overcome? Do you know how you keep those commandments? You remember why you're doing it and who you're doing it to. You're doing it unto Him. Do you have delight in serving Jesus? Do you see His love for you? Because His love for you, His expression of sacrifice, is what gives you the joy to serve somebody else and to forgive those who sin against you. When you lose sight of Him, it is all going to be hard. Then it's going to be a burden. Then it's going to be real inconvenient. Then it's going to be a real struggle. Because you're looking at the person in their sins rather than looking to the God who forgave you your sins. You're looking at a person in their weakness and inability and insufficiency instead of seeing the great God who gave you the strength and the power and the might to take care of somebody who's weak. You realize the difference between the way of Satan and the way of this world and the way of God and the kingdom of God is that God's way is taking care of others because it's right and it's good. And it's taking care of the weak, not destroying them. The strong were made to take care of the weak. And you are strong if you see the weakness in someone else. If you can help the weakness in someone else, you are the strong. So how will the strong live? Survival of the fittest? Destroy the weak? Or the way of God, which is the strong serve the weak and bear the burden of Christ, so fulfilling the law of God. That is what you do. You honor your parents. And it's not easy. It takes the power of God. When I was a boy, my grandma lived with us. I was telling the story last week about my grandma, and she was there living in our house when my dad left. But after my dad left, my grandma moved out because she felt a lot of the reason that my dad was leaving my mom was because of her. She had a lot of hurt over that. And I'll tell you what, I loved my grandma. My grandma was one of those grandmas that every kid should have. She made me things. She always making me sweaters. She would bake the cookies. She made coffee cake for Sunday morning. She would have us to her little apartment and we'd play cards. And I mean, hey, Saturday night, me and grandma, you know, we were together for Lawrence Welk. I mean, those were the days, you know, tiny bubbles. You know, it was all good. Grandma was the great grandma. The woman was just full of love. And she just served and served. She didn't care what was going on in people's lives. She just gave of herself. She was a living sacrifice, but she moved out. She went to live with her son near him. And she was living in a senior retirement community. Well, as things happen, you get older in life, you get into your 80s. Guess what? She got really sick. And she couldn't walk that well, but when you get really sick when you're that age and you're in bed for a long time, sometimes there's no getting up afterwards. The muscles have all atrophied. You know, she was not able to walk anymore. She became bedridden. Now, I love my uncle. He's one of the great men I've ever known. Godly man. But he was traveling a lot. He was still doing a lot of things and going a lot of places. A lot of times my grandma was just in that room. And my mom, getting back to the story, was just a single mom. She was taking care of my sister and me. She had to go to work for the first time in 26 years after being divorced by my dad. It's a whole new life when you do that. Little kids at home who are messed up. She's messed up. Going to work, providing for her kids. And she sees this circumstance. Now God healed my mom of many things. We were talking about this last night. My mom was healed of tremendous mental problems. She spent the greater part of my childhood in and out of mental institutions. But when God healed her, she still today remembers the complete and utter freedom in a moment deliverance of Jesus Christ that freed her from every mental illness and impediment in her life. It took one moment, one prayer of faith. At the right time, God did it. But do you think people would believe that? No. They would question her sanity. But she went off all the drugs. She went off all the things and she started living a normal life. The doctors had to let her go because, hey, there's no reason to keep her at the hospital. She seems sane and normal. They let her go. But guess what? People who had seen her like this for the last 10 years, what do you think they thought? Cuckoo. They tried everything. So my mom now, a Christian, healed, filled with the love of God, sees her mother living in Iowa away from the family and says, I'm going to bring my mother back here so I can take care of her. That was crazy. Lady, you're a single mom, barely making it work, stretching your nickels because you went back into the workforce at a pretty old age, starting all over again without job experience for 26 years. You have two kids at home, and you want to take on this kind of responsibility, you're crazy. You know, my mom was faithful. And you know how the doors started to open when she determined to keep this commandment, when she determined to honor her parents and bring her mom into our house? The state of Illinois passed a law right then that gave somebody like my mom 6 hours of caregiving for free a day. Somebody could come in and help so she could keep working so we'd have food to eat. But every morning my mom would get up 4:35 in the morning because my grandma was in bed, and she would have to lift her out of the bed and she'd have to put her on the toilet. You know, there's no pretension in old age. And she was responsible. She needed somebody to get her to the bathroom in the morning. My mom would bathe her, clean her, wash her. My mom would get her dressed. My mom would feed her. She couldn't feed herself. She had to be fed. And then she'd go to work and somebody would come for 6 hours. And then she arranged it with my school so I could get off school at 1 o'clock, so I could be there when the helper left. I could stay there with my grandma till my mom got home from work. And then my mom would come home after getting up early and taking care of grandma, going to work in a job at a big hospital, and then guess what? The work starts. She had to get home and get her mother up and take her to the bathroom and make dinner and feed her mother dinner and put her back in bed and take care of her and read her all the time, working with her, talking with her, loving her every day. And how long does that last? You know, when you're a parent and you have little kids, you know eventually the diapers will go away, right? When you're old, you don't know the day when the diapers go away. It was an act of love. It was an act of honor. It was an act of bringing glory to a woman who could no longer even do for herself. The example of love. The example of this commandment. To take care of somebody because of a commitment unto God and of doing what was right and just in the eyes of God. The example of love. And she laid it out. And God saw her through. And every time, you don't know how many times my grandma in her upper 80s and 90s would have severe problems where the doctors are like, she needs to come to the hospital, she has problems, that we would lay hands on her and pray for her and God would just heal her. And you wonder why I have such faith in Jesus Christ? Because my mother was healed, and countless times I saw my grandma healed in the name of Jesus Christ. See, you can't take those things away. It's too powerful. It's too strong. The love was too evident. And when you think about these relationships between you and your parents and you and your children, God is working something deep in these relationships. A deep work of love. A deep work of commitment. A deep work of saying, I will give them honor, God, as if I'm giving it to you. I will wash their feet as if I'm washing yours. I will take care of them as if it is you, Lord Jesus. And with all my might, with all my delight, I will take care of you. Because Jesus said, when I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison, you came to me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And sometimes where that happens in our lives is with our parents. They need us to take care of them. They need us to help them. They need us to honor Him by honoring them. And so God gives us this wonderful commandment. But you see, it goes beyond that in what God would have us to do. It goes beyond that because God called you to be His child. You're the child of God. You were made for great things. And Jesus showed us this whole example. Turn with me to John. We're going to read some verses here in John. You know, I love the book of John because what John gets out is he goes to the heart of these relationships. He goes deep in to the realm of who Jesus was and what the motivation was. Notice John 14. Because Jesus came to set us an example of how to be the child of God. John 14 and verse 13 says, "Whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it." Why? Why did Jesus say, "I'm going to do it"? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. What a motivation. When you love, when you serve, when you take care of your parents, what God is saying is, do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. As we said, the commandment, honor thy father, could be bring glory to thy father, glorify your father, that it may be well with you, that your days may be long. Saying, bring this, bring glory, bring honor. Notice here in John chapter 7, John chapter 7 and verse 17, this heart of obedience, how Christ kept this commandment when he was on the earth. He showed us exactly how to keep this commandment. John 7 and verse 17, if anyone wills to do his will, that is his Father's will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, his own honor. This commandment is not about that. It doesn't say honor thyself. But what does it say? But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. God is telling us, seek the honor of God your Father. Seek to honor God your Father. Don't seek honor for yourself. What God is teaching us in this commandment, so that as we grow as children, we learn how to honor our parents on the earth, so that it is natural that we learn to honor our Father in heaven. That we, like Jesus, say, it's His will I seek. It's not my own glory. I'm seeking the glory of the great God in heaven. Notice this in John 5. John chapter 5. Verse 19, most assuredly I say to you, Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. Do you know how you honor a godly parent? You imitate them. And Jesus said, you know what I do? I see my Father do things. I see what He would do, and I do it. No greater honor than that worship of God, the imitation of God. The highest form of worship, to be imitators of God. So he says, as I see him doing it, whatever manner my Father does it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be just like Dad. And I'm going to give honor and blessing to him. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Did you hear that? When you make it your goal in life to honor your parents, they will show you. You realize, a lot of my life is hoping that my kids ask me the right questions. Let me show you. If you really want to bring honor and glory to your parents, I'm going to show you this way of life. So I try to get them to ask the questions. I want them to see the right ways. Well, God our Father in heaven is the same thing. He says, come to me with this heart that you really want to give me honor and glory, that you don't want to seek your own. And I'm going to show you I'm going to show you marvelous things. I'm going to show you things you can't believe. When you give honor to God in heaven, when you say, Dad, show me how to please you, what do you think He's going to say? Absolutely. I was waiting for you to ask. This is a question that comes from the heart. Johnny, John chapter 8 and verse 54. Jesus answered and said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. Nothing. I hope that as we've talked today, that you've been able to make these spiritual connections into these relationships with God, with your physical parents, but with God, and the principles of honoring others. Because God teaches children to honor their parents from a young age, from the time we're born. He wants us to be honoring our godly parents. He wants us to be obeying our godly parents and walking in this way. But what He wants us to see and learn, as we honor our parents, we learn to honor God. As we learn to honor God, we learn to honor each other. You want to know how you stop conflict, fighting, and war? You do it by getting people to honor and glorify God. Because the flesh and the spirit are contrary. If you walk according to the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. They're contrary. They can't be agreed. God says, learn this lesson. If you honor me, you will honor others. What is God going to do when you do this? John 8. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say, He is your God. Now this is pretty exciting stuff. God wants to honor you. Do you know why God says honor your father? Because your father wants to honor you. You were made for glory. You were made for honor. God made you for that. So when He says, honor me, He's saying, look, if you want to chase after honor for yourself, you're not going to get it. You want to be great? He who wants to be greatest, let Him be your servant. Don't seek to puff yourself up and honor yourself. Because that puffing will come and it will fade away and it will never return. But he who humbles himself in the form of a servant, to give honor and glory unto God his Father, will be given honor and glory by his Father. The way to honor, the way to glory. Is it your hope in life that your Father will glorify you? Is it your hope in life that he will raise you? You know, Paul, in Romans 1, he talks about the Christian way. He said, there's these people that store up wrath, but the godly, what are they seeking? Honor, glory, and immortality. This is what the godly seek. Not to glorify themselves, but to glorify God in heaven. And when we glorify God in heaven, He gives glory. Notice John chapter 17. This last prayer that we see when Jesus was with His disciples before He was taken. So Jesus lifted up His eyes unto heaven. He was praying. And He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son. Well, that word glorify, you can look it up in the Greek. It's translated honor in other places in the New Testament. It's interchangeable. Glory and honor. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You, as You have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom You've sent. Do you realize when God plucked us out of sin, and He teaches us this beautiful, perfect way, He's saying, know Me. Know Me. This is eternal life. I didn't wash your sins away so you could be conscious forever. I washed your sins away to give you eternal life. Abundant life, to know Me. That is where life is found, in these relationships with God, our Savior, with each other. Relationships. So He says in verse 4, I have glorified You on the earth. Jesus could have said, I have honored You here. I've kept Your commandment. I gave You honor, My Father. Jesus would say, I don't do what I... These aren't my own words. What I see my Father doing, I do. He said, I don't speak my own words. What I hear my Father speaking, that is what I teach. My life, He says, was given to glorify You. Let it so be said of us, that our lives were given to glorify God. And notice then what He says, I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, with the glory which I had with You before the world was. He said, God, I gave it all up. You know, we never had to give it all up. that He gave up all His glory. And now He says, Father, give me the glory that I had with You before the world was. I have glorified You. My friends, the way to glory, the way to honor, is only through honoring our Father. By giving Him the honor and the glory. Let's finish up in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Just let these sink in. Just let these be in your heart and in your mind as we read them here. For as many, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you're the child of God? I'm glad you do. I want you to. This is what you were called to. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. How do we suffer with Him? By taking on the yoke of love. To love those even who don't love us. To take care of those and honor those who don't honor us. To bring honor to our Father in spite of what people do to us. The Spirit Himself, verse 17, that we may be glorified together. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's that word. It can be glory, it can be honor in the Greek. Just like the word in Hebrew, glory and honor, interchangeable. This was the Greek word where they're interchangeable. They go both ways on glory and honor. The glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 28, it says, For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. What is that image? What I hear You speaking, God, I speak. What I see You doing, I do. I give my all to glorify You. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's speaking of you, my friends. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified. God wants to give you glory. God wants to give you honor. And the way to honor, the way to glory, is to give glory and honor to your Father in heaven. You are the child of God. When you read this commandment, I hope you never read it the same again. I hope you see in it your Father in heaven, who loves you, who gave everything in His firstborn for you, to be a child, that you and I would be conformed to the image of Him, that we give Him honor. And that we give Him glory. Because what He wants to do in us is to give us honor and glory. But it's not by seeking our own. It's by giving it to Him first. From our heart. In truth. Not because of what we get. But because of what we can give in service to others. God made us to give honor. God made us to bring glory to Him. And He wants to bring glory to us, His children. That is the dynamic relationship of this commandment. Of a father and his children, the giving of honor unto one another. It is so far from the ways of this world. It is so apart from everything that this world strives for. Because it is the emptying of self in love, to love our God, to love our Father, and to give glory to Him.